Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. And I know it was different tonight because the song came on. I want you to know that that song played itself in the studio tonight. And I couldn't get it off. I even tried to lower the volume, and you could still hear it. But for whatever the reason, it played. And it was an encouraging song to let us know that we have to trust God no matter what's going on. The songstress said, even when the bills are due, you trust him. No matter what you're going through, you trust him. So the song played, and we heard it. But now it's time for our Wednesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and this is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. I thank God, and I thank each and every one of you for coming back week after week as we come together, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, to study the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. Our lesson tonight is you can run, but you can't hide. We're going to be in the book of Jonah, and we're going to expound on the first chapter. In the text that I sent out, I asked that you read the entire book because it was only four chapters, and it was short chapters. I don't know if you ever read a chapter of the Bible, a chapter of a book in the Bible. And if it's not excessively long, you know, sometimes it takes 5 minutes to read it. Sometimes it could take 12 minutes to read it. But it does not take long because it tells the whole story of the character of Jonah. God saw fit to allow it to be in the Bible. So we have to see what we can learn from it. We have been talking about the different characters in the Bible for some time, and for a couple of weeks. And tonight I'm going to do Jonah. Next month we're going to do some teaching on Jesus, and then the year will be out, because next month I'm going to not be able to do the program on one of the Wednesdays. So we won't have any program for that day. And I won't come back to after Christmas. So we won't have that Wednesday. And I'll be back on the 28th. I won't be on the 21st. And I'll return on the 28th, which would be the Wednesday after Christmas. I thank you guys. I'll announce it again so everybody could know about it. But tonight we're going to talk about Jonah. But before we do, it's time for us to go to God's throne of grace. The song has already been sung. And now it's time to enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. Sister Pam has pressed the one button and your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I would thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Lord, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for affording us the opportunity to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Thanking you, O Lord, for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Continue to use, O Lord, in any way and all ways that you see fit. Continue to bless our Bible study, Lord Jesus, and each and every person that's on tonight on the phone and internet. Father God, I thank you tonight for life. I thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for your son, Jesus the Christ. Thanking you for your grace, and we thank you for mercy. And it's all in Jesus' name that I pray this prayer. Amen. And thank you, God.
Amen. It's so amazing. We come on the line every Wednesday. And today is the last day of the month of November. Time is passing by. Time is winding down. but God still have us here. So I'm going to do a little background right now, and then we're going to expound on the printed checks. But I want to say that sin is running rapid in our society today, and I believe most of you can agree with that. Hallelujah. And it doesn't seem that it's going to get better anytime soon, but the Bible tells us that it won't get better, it'll get worse. Because you see, in every season, there's a new devil. Every season, there's more people doing their own thing. You see, the prisons is overflowing. CNN news, and the daily news headlines is a witness to these facts. Then we have to realize that there's child abuse, serial killings, terrorism, hate crimes, our youth killing each other, and then there's still police brutality. It's real, y'all. The world seems to be filled with oppression on every side. There's violence and hatred and corruption, all being fueled by evil. Because evil is what evil does. You see, with everything that's going on around us, and perhaps we are experiencing some of them ourselves. You know, a long time ago, you used to always hear what happened somewhere else to somebody else. But now it has found its way at our front door. It has hopped the fence and entered our yards. And it's not far away as it used to be. We may even find ourselves wishing for vengeance by any means necessary on our oppressors or someone that we think has harmed us. Y'all know how it goes. You know, there's even vigilantes that's in the world today. And these are the people who take what was done to them serious. And they don't want to leave it in the hands of justice. They want sudden death on their oppressors. In their own mind, they say they taking revenge and they're getting even. And that's what they decide to do. You know, these people feel like people who have done certain things don't deserve a way out. Some people even, when something happens to some of their family members and the person go to court and they found guilty and what's on the table, life or the electric chair. And many people have stated that they don't want them to get life because that's too easy. They want them to die. The Bible, God says, vengeance is mine. But that's how they feel when things happen to them. When all of this going on, we can understand the necessity of God's judgment. This lets us know why that God is the righteous judge. Man operate in their emotions and their feelings and their hurt and their pain when they decide to take justice in their own hands. You know, we know God is slow to anger. And you might say, why you say that, Sister Diane? Because we could say in our own life when we know we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. Come on, y'all. And God still held on to us. You see, we must remember what God says. I can remember a long time ago. Well, it was kind of long. I'll never forget it. When Rodney King, when they had those tapes of Rodney King, and he was down on the ground almost lifeless, and they were still beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him. And the powers that be, the person was in charge to surrender justice, decided that there was no crime, that those officers act the way they should have acted. After seeing it with your own eyes, oppressors, the people with the power, and how they do and operate. You know, we can look at the flood of Noah. The people were so bad that God decided to, well, really killed all of them, drowned them with the flood, except Noah and his family. And then we could see God's judgment with Sodom and Gomorrah. The people there was, oh, they was horrible. And God decided that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the surrounding cities, because they all participated. But God saved Lot and his family on the strength of Abraham. You know, I asked tonight, what would you do if God tell you to forgive someone that has hurt you, that has oppressed you, violated you? What would you do if God asked you to pray for them and then asked you to go to them and take the gospel to them? How would you respond? Well, I gave this background because I want to let you know that this is what happened to Jonah. And we're going to see it in the lesson. You see, God is patient, given every opportunity for every man to be saved. The Bible said it's God's will that all sorts of men be saved. You got to remember, we too was forgiven and received the free gift of salvation. If you repent, God is just to forgive. But we don't want to give somebody that opportunity. We want to see hurt, harm, and danger come upon them. And we feel we are justified. You see, Jonah was a minor prophet. He was proud and stubborn, disobedient, unfaithful, bad-tempered, and cankerous. Yet God had a job for him to do. You see, as we study these characters, you got to see. You know, sometimes there's a man of God that know the word of God. He might be a pastor of a church, and he falls short of the glory of God. You have to realize when God allowed them to come there, God already knew what all the things they had done and all the things they would do. That's just like each and every one of us. God knows our shortcomings, but he still sometimes have a job for us to do, because there's no one sinless, so everybody he chooses has at some point of time sinned. But Jonah was stubborn and unfaithful, but God had a job for him to do. You know, the book of prophecies usually focus on the prophecy given by God to the prophet for the people. You know, God gives his message to his prophets. He used to give his, he gives messages to his appointed ones and the anointed ones. You know, the Old Testament, he used judges. He used kings. He used prophets. He used priests to give a word. But in the book of Jonah, it focused on the prophet Jonah. It's a little different than books of prophecy. And, you know, because many times God used the prophet over and over and over in their books. He sent them here, he sent them there. But this particular book is focused on Jonah. You see, Jonah was reluctant to do what God had asked him to do, because he found it distasteful. Now, how can he decide in his pea brain mind to judge God's wisdom? He had to feel like God didn't know what he was doing and that he knew best. That's a dangerous place to be in your life. God is supreme. And your thinking is as far away from him as the Bible says the dew is on the ground. Come on, y'all. If God said it, you just have to believe it. And if you can't see it, just wait till the change comes. Jonah decided to run. And he found out that he could run, but he couldn't hide. And I'm going into the scriptures. I'm in the first chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, to rise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God said the people in Nineveh was going just too far. And he was going to use Jonah to go and let them know that God said he's recognizing their evil. You see, in verse 3, but Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish from the presence of God and went down to Jaffa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them. To go with them, to get away from God. How you like that? He wanted to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of God. Verse 4. But the Lord so the ship was like to be broken. You think when Jonah got on that ship, he thought God didn't know where he was at? He got on a ship and God disturbed the ship with a mighty wind. Look, we could see God's power even with the wind. Hallelujah. Then the Marines were afraid. The people on the boat that he got on with, and cried every man unto his God, a small g. They didn't worship God. They had idol gods. And they cast forth the wares that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it. They didn't know what was going on. They knew all of a sudden everything was all messed up. They told each other to go pray or go talk to their God. Whoever their gods was, and after that, it didn't get no better. They threw all of their belongings overboard to help try to make the ship get a little lighter. And the scripture goes on and says, but Jonah was gone down in the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that he will think upon us that we perish not. All of them prayed, and all of them threw their stuff off, and Jonah is kicked back in the ship, and they go to him. You got to get up and you got to talk, have a talk with your God. In verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow. They didn't know what to do at this time. So what they decided to do, and the scripture says, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. They say, let's throw lots. And lots today is like rolling dice, flipping a coin, rock, paper, scissors, and things like that. But the lots was like dice. They were stones, and they would throw it in the stone, whoever it turned it to or whatever, they would think it was them. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for who caused this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people are thou? They wanted to find something out about him now. You know, it's always good to know something about somebody. It's always good to know something about people you're going to be with. They didn't ask any questions when he got on the boat, and I guess that was normal procedure. But now they want some answers. You see, when we look at this, we see that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and warn the violent and godless Ninevites of their impending doom. You see, God said, look, if y'all keep it, he wanted to let them know, if you continue to do it the way you're doing it, I got something for you. You see, because every man was doing right, what seemed right in their own eyes, and they were proud lovers of themselves. Nineveh was the most important city in Assyria. They had the world power of Jonah's day. You see, they had it going on. And Jonah and them didn't like the Assyrians anyway. And the Assyrians didn't like the Jews. But they had the power. And now God wants Jonah to go there and tell him to repent and that he would save them. So Jonah didn't want them saved. He wanted them crushed. He wanted God to put judgment on them and just take them out. So God tell Jonah, you go pray and bring the gospel to him and try to get him to repent, and I'm going to let him live. Jonah said, I don't think so. He didn't think they deserved to live. You know, if you look for Nineveh and try to see all of the godless things they do, you could go to the book of Nahum, and it says what tells you about Nineveh. Come on, y'all. How they plotted against God, how they exploited the helpless. They were very cruel in war, and they practiced idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft. The city of Nineveh. You can find it in the book of Nahum. You see, Jonah didn't think Nineveh deserves saving. He looked at them as pagans, and God taking an interest in them was unthinkable. So now he's, I guess, a little angry with God. You know, how could you? You know, many times we say that, not exactly like Jonah, but there's many people over the years you have encountered I'm sure, that get angry with God for his decisions. You know, sometimes someone in a family dies and they walk away from God, especially when it's young children. How could you take them? Sometimes they get sick. And if you get sick, you know, you need to be getting close to God for healing. But they walk away because they don't feel he should have even let it happen to them. See, these people have a spirit of entitlement. You got to have that kind of spirit when you go against God, that you know that you believe you're entitled to do it the way you want and you entitled to get what you want, regardless of God's will, his way. He didn't even want them to, he didn't think they deserved mercy or grace, as if it only belonged to the Jews. You know, the Jews was God's chosen people. But God loved everybody. He said he allowed the sun to shine on the just as well as the unjust. And it is God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. But the Jews were his chosen people. You see, here we see that he thought more of himself than he should have, the spirit of entitlement, as if he was more religious than them. I had never sinned. Y'all know any people like that? They call them holy rollers. They confess with their mouth, I never did this and I never did that. But you very seldom hear them come back and say what they did do, because it's something. The Bible says we all fall short. And I take my hat off and I admire people that have been fighting a good fight of faith for a long time and pressing towards the mark of a prize of a high calling. You know, some people, it's just in their nature to do what's right. And yet they make mistakes too, but I'm just saying. But some people think they have arrived. That's why Paul said, now y'all know if Paul wrote 13 books in the Bible, he was taught by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was used by God. And Paul said he will never believe that he has apprehended, because he knew it was so much more learning, so much more service, so much to do until Jesus come back. Paul also said, for me to live is Christ. Paul said, whatever I do, I'm going to do it for Christ. If I have a job, if I'm talking to the people, if I'm visiting the sick, it's all for Christ. He's saying, I realize for me to die is gain. So long as I'm living, I'm going to do everything that I can for Christ. And we know in the end, Paul was martyred for his conviction following Christ, but he didn't stop. And here we see Jonah hated them so much that he didn't want to warn them. He didn't want to be the one that maybe, if I tell them and they listen to me and they turn around, they're going to be saved. He didn't want to take the chance, so he ran. You see, instead of doing what God told him to do, he fled to Joppa, got on a ship, which was the opposite direction for Nineveh. He thought he could get away from God, but Jonah, God was on the boat. We have to remember that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. Come on, y'all. If God had a certain purpose, if God have a certain purpose for your lives, my sisters and brothers. But God has a purpose for all of our lives. And he has given us the gifts and a calling. And it's irrevocable. It's irrevocable. It don't just evaporate because you, you know, not ready or don't really understand or didn't hear or not ready to do it or too busy or whatever. It's irrevocable. You see, God gave Jonah a job. Jonah went the other way, but the job did not disappear. And that's how it is with all of our lives, y'all. God gave us an intended purpose before the foundation of the world. And that's why, that's his provisions and gifts and his calling and his anointing is what he used to work all things out together for your good, that you could reach that intended purpose. Hallelujah, y'all. What God got for you to do, it's not going to go away because you're not ready. And other thing many times happen, people don't feel like they worthy. But I come to tell you tonight, I think that's a feeling. Everybody, when you want to please God, you're not worthy. Because first of all, you're not worthy. You see, you couldn't save yourself, and you know, you was a sinner saved by grace and so on, and all that God do for us, we can't repay it. So, you know, you feel like, I don't believe God could use me for this. And it may be holding you back. You know, I believe God is calling me, but I'm not ready. It could be whatever it is. But it does not go away. Jonah decided to go other way, and he knew God told him what to do. He knew it was God, and he went the other way. But the assignment wasn't canceled. The anointing to do the job wasn't pulled. The gift that God had given him to accomplish the job was still there. And that's how it is with us, y'all. God is waiting on us. Because it's not going to go away. See, you either have to fulfill his purpose or he will simply roll over you to accomplish what he had foreordained. God provides the provisions necessary for you to accomplish the task. Even when you discard the assignment he has placed in your hand. Jonah was determined to get away from God by any means necessary. He decided to run, but we'll find out that he couldn't hide. You see, the poor people on the boat didn't know what was happening. They didn't have a bad weather report. Everything was good until all hell broke loose. They cast a lot. They found out who was guilty. God was on the boat. And even though what they was doing was sort of superstitious, the axe, you know, flipping a coin and stuff like that. But God allowed that superstition act to reveal, God allowed that superstition act to reveal Jonah. See, God can use whatever he wants. Letting Jonah know. You can run, but you can't hide. And I'm going to go to verse 10 now. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, talking about the men on the boat, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. They done peeped it out now, because he had told them. 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do with thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? Now they trying to go into self-preservation mode. You know, if it's, I don't know how many men it was, because it didn't say, but if it was 10 of them and one of him, and he the problem. So they trying to figure out what to do. But let me tell you why they was doing that. We're going to see it in the scripture. He told him, for the sea wrought, and it is temperate, in verse 12. And he said unto them, Jonah, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know for my sake this great temperance is upon you. Like I'm the cause of this. Throw me overboard. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men began to row harder. They're trying to find another way. And you see, even though they were sinners, worship idol gods, adulterers, fooled around in prostitution, and all of that, they was not just willing without trying to not throw Jonah overboard. Jonah don't want to save a whole city, and they trying to save him and maybe could lose their own life. The men didn't want to do it, but they tried. The scriptures say they tried to row harder and harder to stay afloat. You see, because the men understood the power of God. It's so amazing that when God did so many acts, and even the acts that he's doing in our lives, when someone see how God is operating with us, may be the calling card to get someone saved. You see, these men saw all of this, and now they understand the power of God. They understand that God is omnipotent, have all power in his hand. And he has the power to make the wind and the seas follow his command. And now they're afraid. They now know that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of Almighty God. And they didn't want. Let me show you another reason why they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. They didn't want to have trouble with God. How you like that? You see, they now wonder what to do with Jonah to calm the sea. So they tried to row harder and do all of that. And they had more compassion on Jonah than Jonah had on the whole city of Nineveh. At what point Jonah was willing to be cast in the sea and die in order to save the soldiers, although he had refused to do the same for the people in Nineveh? He's willing to jump over. See, showing that he has compassion in his mouth, in his heart, he just have misguided. Well, you know, the spirit of entitlement. See, those spirits, selfishness, unforgiving, the spirit of entitlement, it sometimes clogs your mind and your vision. He was ready to jump off for them men, but he wasn't ready to to go to Nineveh. It's almost like Jonah just was stuck on stupid. On verse 14 through 17, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, now this is the men now who had all the idol gods. They prayed to the idol gods. And now after seeing the power of the only true and living God, verse 14 said, therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. God, you have your way. They understand and they respect and they give an honor and glory because of what they saw. That's so amazing when people saw Jesus do all of those miracles. Come on, y'all. And yet didn't believe. Come on. They saw Moses hold up a rod and divide the Red Sea by the power of God, and yet they complained and mumbled. But the men now respect God and said, look what they told God, y'all. Not our will, but thy will, O Lord. So they drew Jonah off the ship after getting permission and the sea ceased from raging. They threw him over. The seas stopped raging. Come on, y'all. The wind stopped blowing. They now believe, just talking about the men on the boat, they now believe and fear God. They offered a sacrifice and made a vow to him. You see how God works things out. He uses everything and every situation and everything he created for his glory and to help get man to believe that he's the only true and living God. You see, even in his disobedience, God still got the glory. Talking about Jonah. I guess God said, you know, Jonah is acting a fool. He done jumped on this boat. I know these men on this boat, and I'm going to do what I do. And I pray that they accept God as their God now. Because God used every opportunity, y'all. You see what the devil meant for the bad. God turned it around for his good. Now, they believed the God of Jonah, and God was not finished with Jonah because he's overboard now, but he prepared a great fish that swallowed up Jonah, and he's in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. See, Jonah did run. He know he can't hide from God's command because God was even with Jonah. Come on, y'all, in the belly of the whale. And that's the first chapter. I asked you guys if you had time to read the other ones as well. So I'm going to just go through it a little bit. You see, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. The whale, at God's command, spit Jonah out. The scripture in the second chapter, in the 10th verse, say, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Now, Jonah is now out the fish on dry land. Jonah ran away, and God is now giving him a second chance to participate. God tell him again in the third chapter, go to Nineveh, preach unto the people that I told you to preach to. You may feel as though you are disqualified from serving God for your past mistakes. This is a prime example right here. God doesn't allow our past to cancel our future. Jonah messed up big time. And God is still using him, and that's how he's using you. Believe me, God is a God of many chances. Nineveh, when the fish spit him out, God gave him a second chance and told him to go do it. Jonah started running. Nineveh, y'all know they didn't have cars and all that, and y'all know he didn't have a horse and he didn't have a camel because he just got off the belly of the whale. So he had his feet. Jonah got spit out by the belly and out of the belly of the whale and began running. From where Jonah was, Nineveh was a 3-day journey on foot. But Jonah arrived in one. Jonah was running track. Jonah got there in the 3rd chapter, and he preached a strong message. The people believed and repented. And in the 10th verse in the 3rd chapter says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. And then it was a 4th chapter. And we see in the 4th chapter, Jonah now is displeased. He know he rocked the house with that message he brought. He didn't want God to freely give the salvation to the wicked pagans. He now prayed to God again, saying the same thing he had said before. How you like that? Asking God now to take his life again. He felt it would be better to die than to see Nineveh saved. That's hatred, y'all. So Jonah forgot that he received it freely. He forgot. So he went away from the city, and he got and ducked down in a little spot to be able to see the city. And he wanted to see how God was going to move in their behalf. But he wanted to die so he wouldn't have to see the outcome, because he know how gracious God is. And he said, God might just save these people. So he built a shelter that he could be in to wait to die, y'all. And God provided a vine for shade, and Jonah was glad. How you like that? But you see, by morning, God sent the word and chewed on the vine, and it made the vine wither. Then God sent a hot sun. It was so hot that Jonah was about to faint. And so, see, now God made the vine and gave Jonah shade, even though he wanted to die. Now God let the sun come, the worms come, and the sun come. And now Jonah is mad with God about the vine. Look what God asked him, y'all. Do you have the right to be angry about the vine? Jonah answered God. Read it in there, y'all. Jonah answered and said, yes, I do. I am angry enough to die. Now God tell Jonah, you are more concerned about the vine that you didn't plant. You didn't water it. It came up and it disappeared the next day. You didn't make it grow. It came up at night and it perished in the night. And should I now not spare Nineveh, a great city of many? We got to watch out sometime. We have our priorities messed up. Many, many, many times we worry about the wrong thing. Glory, hallelujah. Even in the society we live in today, they have some people that have animals. And them people are sometimes willing to give their life for their animals. When Hurricane Katrina came, plenty of people were willing to take whatever would come up against them because they didn't want to be separated. They didn't want to be separated from their animals. They have people that will do more for an animal than they would do for a hungry child. That's priorities mixed up. And that's how Jonah was. He was mad about the vine that God sent the worms and made it wither up. But God sent the vine in the first place. You see, as I close, God spared the soldiers when they prayed for mercy. God saved Jonah when he prayed inside of the fish. See, y'all got to read that little chapter to see. And God saved the people of Nineveh when they responded to Jonah preaching. God answered the prayer of those who call upon him. God's will always be done. And I want to remind us all tonight, what God has for us, but also whatever God has for us to do, is also for us to do. That's the lesson tonight. And if you decide to go to the book of Nahum, where it told us about the people in Nineveh, you'll see that after a while, they did good for a while. And after a while, they went back to their old ways. Same thing the Jews did over and over and over and over and over and over. And Nineveh did go back to his old ways. That's the lesson tonight. Any comments, questions, or concern, you can say them at this time. Anybody could say anything about Jonah? Anybody could add anything in it? Different perspective. You know, I never confessed to be the smartest person or the sharpest tool in the shed. And I know for a fact that sometimes other people add to what has been said, and maybe others can get it better the way it's being said. So that's why God has always given us the opportunity to be able to share and talk. It is Bible study. And I made it very clear 10 years ago, this is not my Bible study, it's ours. So if anyone would like to say anything, you can at this time. If not, I want to thank you guys again. I ask God to bless each and every one of your homes, your children, your grandchildren, your finances, your health. Hallelujah. I ask God for favor in your lives. And I pray for your traveling grace daily. You're going in and you're coming out. God, to bless you. And the blessings that each and every one of you are in need of. So I took these 4 weeks and talked about a character in the Bible that you could see how God works in the lives of his people, how he chooses them, and it's usually not the person you expect, but that's the way God is. And God has a calling on all of your lives, all of our lives. Take time and listen to see what the Spirit has to say. And if no one has anything to say at this time, we could have our old caller. Caller, your number is 504-255. Your mic is open.
Good night, Sister Diane, and all the people that is listening tonight. I want to thank you for that word. That was very comforting for me tonight because I was struggling with some things, but, you know, I know that I have to put my trust in God in order for me to get to the next level. So I just want to thank you for that word.
You're so welcome, my brother Corey. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. That's all we have. And you got to remember, God can't love you no more than he loves you right now. It's not, oh, I got to do A, B, C, D, and E to get a little love. God cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. And you have to keep that in mind. Thank you, my brother. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open and you can lead us out of this Wednesday night.
I just want to thank you again, Minister Diane, for another wonderful, beautiful lesson on tonight. Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, my sister Pam. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For your support and your service that you give to the Bible study. And thank each and every one of you for calling in. I want to let you know that God is pleased. God is pleased. So as we leave, I pray that the saints or the people on the line was edified. I pray that Satan is shaken and horrified, and I pray that God get the glory. Until next week, go in peace and have a great night's sleep. Good night.
Good night.